I don't know about you guys, but tonight kind of felt like the finale, but it's not. We still have one more week to go, but tonight we're going to be breaking down Scandal Season 6, Episode 14, Head Games. Stick with us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Such an anticlimactic beginning.
Well, we gotta start how Scandal ended it.
Right?
Mm. Yes, so beautiful.
Go, Diana, go. Mm.
Sing it, girl.
Woo!
Somewhere over the rainbow.
Loves our singing.
Featuring Paris Rose on the track.
Tone deaf. Mm. Mm.
Yes.
Thank you
guys so much for entertaining us every week with our singing and our antics.
Because that's our real goal in life, is to be a singer.
Right?
No.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to our Scandal After Show. Always a pleasure to have you guys joining us each and every week at Thursdays at 10:10 or so, wherever you are. If you're on the East Coast, it's probably a lot later than that, so thank you for staying up with us. I'm your host, Christine Alexis. You can find me all over social media at Christine Bean.
And I am Paris Rose. You can find me pretty much everywhere at Paris Rose with two R's.
And I'm your girl, Jessica Williams. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Jessica WW and on Instagram at Miss Jessica Williams.
Dope. Make sure you guys write that down. Follow Jessica.
Hey. What a sober ending.
I know. Right? I know right before we started, Paris, you said that this felt like the finale to you.
Did. It felt like a goodbye. And if I wasn't watching with you guys, I would be in tears.
I saw you getting a little choked up.
I was like, oh God, they're watching me.
No, I did. Like, I had to save my makeup, but the tears were there. You know how you get teary-eyed, and then you're like, let me hold it.
But now
you have chills on the end of it, which I know we can't get to yet, but when we get to, I'll talk about it. But the Quinn, Olivia scene, I had chills and tears.
That's what got me.
Transition of power in a different way.
I had so many questions about that as the episode was playing out, and then the end just, like, answered it for me. So, but we'll get to that in a sec. Yeah. But this episode, so we have one more to go. Mm-hmm. It's going to be our two-hour season finale next week. Just FYI, in case some of you may or may not know, it's going to be a two-hour finale, and we will be having a slightly extended after show. So we'll be breaking down of the final episode and talking about all of our favorite moments from this season.
So you guys got to stay up. You got to stay up with us. It's going to be a long night for us all. We're going to watch it live from the West Coast. Talk about it. But if you can't stay up, of course, watch it the next day. But the live chat is lit.
Every week,
more and more people join. What I love the most about the live chat is everyone kind of forming like a camaraderie. Like, it's like, oh, they question, oh, what do you think this week? So-and-so. Like, you guys know each other's names. And so at the end, although my co-host can't see it, I send them the transcript of it. So we're able to see what you guys are talking about. And it's fun. We have fun
reading it.
Whether
it's live in the live chat or after the show, come on our page, leave some comments. We always love hearing from you. Really quick, I want to say a quick shout out to Larry Brown Jr. What's up to you watching on the East Coast, staying up with us while you get some work done. Thanks for tuning in. And to everyone else who's in there, all 36 of you.
I gotta do a shout out of my own. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's Escoles. She is always there on YouTube commenting, showing her telling her opinion.
Oh, yes. BS.
Yes. So, gotta shout her out because she's got some good ones.
And very lengthy.
Yes.
Very lengthy,
she takes her time. So, I like those.
Since we're doing shout-outs, I'll go ahead and shout-out to Sarah B. on Twitter. She's a loyal follower and fan. She tweets us every week and just randomly through the week about random stuff that we love. So, please tweet us, chat us, comment us, if that's a thing. I just verbed it.
Comment us.
Because we love it, and we like to be engaged.
And this is our show as much as it is yours. We are all super fans together, and I don't mean to get into a sappy spiel. The show's not over yet, but truly, as we're reflecting on how this season has gone, it's been so great getting to know all of you in so many different ways through this show, and us all just gushing together about it. So good. But
no emotions. Get into no it. Let's dive
let's
in.
Get into it.
Let's do it.
This episode was titled Head Games. And in a way, our guest last week, Zoe Perry, kind of teased some of the things that we saw this week right. with heads arriving in a box and whatnot. So that was quite eventful.
Right. But the funny thing is when Abby stuck her hands in, I thought that it was something that could have been covered. You kind of said it as we were watching. Christine's like, I think that might be a hit. And so as it was revealed, it was Samantha, Grace, Ruland,
Gertrude.
I can't with that name. I'm mad that Zoe's not here this week, so I can be like, that name though? But you said it, but it was like her hands were on the head. Like, who does that?
Mm-hmm. Right? Your mama didn't teach you not to just, like, touch random stuff. I would have been like,
yeah, like, what is that? How could she not? I mean, I've never seen a human head, but I would expect that it looks... Right. Decapitated human head. I would assume that it still looks somewhat human and skin-like. How could she not look at it and be like, it's real?
That's real, right? She's like, is this fake? Ha ha, as I touch it.
No, don't do that, Abby. Ugh.
Well, before we get into all that, I want to start off with Rowan, because in this episode, it seems like we're saying goodbye to him. Like, you know, it's a lot of goodbyes mm-hmm. and chapters ending in this episode and maybe some new ones beginning. So I wanted to start there because in this episode, he's having a final Sunday dinner with Liv, and they're talking about, you know, in essence, a transfer of power now that Liv is moving back into the White House with Melly's team. You know, Rowan is getting what he really wanted, which was to get away and leave. Mm-hmm. He says that having family will get in the way of power. And I thought that was interesting considering the way the episode ended right. with family coming in the way of power. But do you think, my question, I guess, for bringing this up is, do you think that we'll see a lot more of Papa Pope next season based on how this episode ended and where we thought he was going to go?
Ooh, okay, so I think Papa Pope's character has taken, like, a big 360.
Yeah.
He started out being command, bossy. I think I loved to hate him. I loved his monologues. He died out. Definitely the season I was really disappointed in who Papa Pope became. And I was kind of happy to see him go. I'm like, yes, retire.
Yeah.
But now that we're teased that he's coming back, I do think we'll have him back, but as a different Papa Pope. He's not going to be command-like. I really think he's going to be a concerned father and really just staying around for Liv. This is just my opinion.
Yeah.
I feel like his command hat is gone, that he's just there as a wise spectator.
So that last takedown with Zoe was like it. That was his last show of power.
Honestly, because it really took away his manliness. I mean, everyone saw that he was no longer command. He was able to be ruled by these two people, and that's not him. So I really feel like he can't go back to who he used to be.
Interesting. Ironically enough, him dealing with the two live crew really did expose Rowan's weaknesses mm-hmm. that we didn't know about. But I think that he vindicated himself by being literally the one to come up with the plan to team with Fitz and to be the one to kill Samantha and all the two live crew in general. And so I felt that he was confused over the last few episodes that we felt that he was lost in his power. He was confused because there was a missing piece that was revealed today that we hinted to. We'll get to that later. But I kind of feel like, to answer your question, Christine, I do feel like he will be a big part of it because they needed him to return as command. So I don't think that he's going to be father-like in the sense of coddling Olivia or in the sense of trying to necessarily protect her head-on, because he has beef with Mama Pope.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not forget their back and forth. And so I think that he's going to return to his stance as being command, and he's going to bring her down.
Oh.
Okay?
Those two going head-to-head. I think the Shonda Rhimes and all the writers actually were on the Twitterverse listening to everybody saying, Mama Pope, because they brought her back.
Yes.
To be real, though, like, I know we talked about it here and there, but I really didn't think that was a possibility until now. Like, you guys were actually right.
Yeah.
Because I definitely had a seed of doubt this whole time. I'm like, why would they bring back Mama Pope? Like, what sense does that make? And it just revealed itself, like, that's actually where it's going.
It is.
Yes. Are you guys happy with that?
I'm not. I mean, because I've been hearing Papa Mama Pope for so long that I really did start to believe, yes, it's Mama Pope. It wasn't my own idea. I can't take the credit. It was the viewers, but I thought, they're right. They're so right. And so when they were right, this whole episode, they were already hinting that it was Mama Pope from the beginning. They were talking about family. I'm like, it's Mama Pope. I just felt all the clues the whole episode, and I was really disappointed because I hate knowing what's going to happen.
That was too predictable?
Yeah.
It wasn't completely predictable. Yeah. Like, we felt it, but we didn't know it. And it kind of was like, I felt like when we kind of relied on the consensus of Mama Pope, it was because we had nothing else to really go off of that was so different. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Alex Vargas just wasn't the one who did it.
still, no.
But what I love about Mama Pope being behind it is that it actually really makes sense. Yeah. You know, I'm really big on the storyline connecting, and that it really just makes sense for the viewers. And Mama Pope had beef. You know, she tried to have this takeover mission that went south, which was in result to Harrison dying, the end of her mission. But she didn't succeed in that. And that actually made her be captured. And she was their prisoner for a very long time. She, at one point, she was imprisoned by Rowan, who had her like in the pit, you know. So she has gone through things where she has lacked power. Mm-hmm. So luckily, because she got that pardon, that escape, that signed the papers to get out of jail free because of her knowledge of B613, she was able to start a new life. And of course, any assassin, spy, terrorist, you know, within themselves, the first thing you would do within leaving, being in prison, is that, how can I get back at them? Exactly. How can I take it over? And she hit the areas that made the most sense, because she knows them. You remember how we were like, who was it? Who could possibly inform the two live crew about Rowan's weaknesses? Yes. We talked about this. We battled this.
That is a great point. Mm-hmm.
We were like, who would know his love? Sandra, you know, who would know? Sandra, who would know these things? It was Mama Pope, because she knows him and Olivia like the back. She's the only one who actually knows them for who they truly are. And she's the only one that can manipulate her and break them down to their knees like she did.
I'm so glad you gave us this little recap, because a lot of people in the live chat were actually just asking, like, when did she even get out of jail? Like, when did this happen? And I'm right there with you. I kind of forgot about that a bit, too. So that was a great refresher and reminder. My question from this, all of this, though, is, before we knew that Mama Pope was behind the Two Live crew and everything that they were doing, whoever they were working for, being Mama Pope, they kept stressing that they wanted Melly in the White House. And now I'm curious to know why she wanted her in the White House. I hope that's revealed next episode. I'm sure it won't be, because we need something to figure out for season 7. But why she wants Melly there? Does she want her killed? Like, what purpose does it serve? And I guess just what comes next? Because finding out that Mama Pope was behind all this now makes me question every single motive. I thought whoever was behind Pais and Miss Rulin, just, you know, maybe they wanted a new world order. Maybe just some new sort of government. Right. You know, I actually was kind of surprised that they still wanted another Grant in power. I was just so confused behind the motive. So I'm curious to see what they do with it.
Honestly, I don't, again, just opinions, but I really do feel that they wanted Melly as president because I think Mama Pope thinks that Melly is the most easy to manipulate. And she, like Papa Pope, probably feels that President Fitzgerald Grant was very weak as a president and manipulated by Olivia.
I mean, I was going to say, so maybe, he already had a handler.
Exactly. So maybe they're like, I see how Olivia got to Fitz. Maybe I could do the same for Melly. And probably, yes, it probably would have succeeded.
That's interesting. I mean, yeah. It is. But only to what end? You would think that Mama Pope would have had to have more power over Olivia for that plan to work. I know that Olivia's been susceptible to the motherly pulls that Mama Pope has had over her. She's made poor decisions in the past because of it. Like, oh, no, like, this is my mother and Mama's a girl. Bye. Like, you know, I'll never forget that. So I think that she's burned her bridges with Olivia. So, you know, if you get Melly Grant, you're going to get Olivia Pope.
That too.
So it's like, why? And then the previews for next week indicates that Mama Pope is wanting to assassinate.
That's what Melly. I'm saying.
Yeah,
like
that's
what I'm like.
Why?
Because now she doesn't have control anymore.
She doesn't have the VP lined up in Pais.
So that's what I'm saying, alive or dead, like, what is she gaining from this? You know what I mean?
Now just vengeance.
Because who? So now it's Vargas. Let's just say. It's not going to happen. We love Melanie. Like, they cannot take away Melly.
No.
Because I wouldn't be able to do my Melly voice. but in, like, what? How would it make sense for them to take away Melly, and then Vargas's wife was to go into power, and then what? And then what happens?
Yeah.
I'm asking the live chat right now, what do they think Mama Pope's endgame is?
Curious, because what would they gain out of it? There's no, I mean, if you set up two people, like the two live crew, is there a part two of the two live crew? Do you have other people that's out there that are able to infiltrate these people's lives?
That is true. I mean, Mama Pope right now must just be in such a position of power, because at the end of the episode, she's chilling at a bar. Like, she's out in broad daylight, like, you know, nothing's going on. And so if the fact that, like you said, she had Payas and Miss Rulin so in control, who else does she have working for her? How deep does this go? And what is ultimately her endgame?
I love that you bring up that she was chilling at the bar. Yes. Because when I saw that, I was like, she got caught the last time because she was just out in this trench coat. And yes. People recognized it. Like,
on camera. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're just out strolling these streets with your long, beautiful hair. Because that looks like pretty real hair. But long, beautiful hair, this trench coat, honey. She out here like Carmen Sandiego. And they're like, let's find her. And she's easily found. So what type of spy are you specifically?
So it's interesting that you said before that Mama Pope knows all their weaknesses, and she used Sandra against Rowan to kind of, you know, get him to do what she wanted, essentially, through Payas. Larry Brown Jr. in the chat says, Mama Pope's goal, a win over Rowan. She's a woman scorned. So do you think this is all, like, just, like, her being petty in every way possible and just wanting a win over him? Or, like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's an interesting theory.
It is.
I think initially she did have a plan, and now that it basically went to shit, I think she might just be a woman scorned. Because really, what can she do? I mean, if Luna is the president, if Melly does die, maybe she can take over from Luna, since Luna's not that strong, but it's kind of, it's reaching. So I don't know.
Do you think Luna knows anything about Mama Pope?
No, right? She's just a lost mom.
Yeah.
But one thing that's interesting, dealing with Mama Pope and, like, her goal, and is she a scorned woman? I like to think back. Someone said something.
They said, like, Carmen Sandiego, I'm dying.
That was a good reference.
It was a good
one. But I think back to, you know, how Mama Pope and Papa's Pope relationship began. Mama Pope has always been deceitful. Mm-hmm. You know, she started off, you know, after Liv was like, what, 12, 13, they're chilling at the house. Mama Pope went to, like, blow up this plane or to make it seem like it, you know, so she kind of sprouted out from the relationship a long time ago. So there's no way that she could be so scorned as if Rowan was the one who actually ended the relationship or ruined the relationship. Mama Pope had her personality, her style, her identity prior. So I say that to say, right now, it's not so much tick for tack. Rowan found out who you were. He punished you accordingly. So you coming back isn't you scorned. It's retaliation because you feel butt hurt. And the last thing, sorry, is just that I feel like her goal is not so much to get hurt Rowan. It is to succeed in power. I think that Mama Pope aims for power.
That
I
might
mean,
be
like it. Like,
yeah, no, go ahead.
That might make a little bit more sense, because this is Mama Pope we're talking about. And now that I think about it, I made it, like, her too emotional. And Mama Pope, she doesn't really care that much about Rowan or Olivia.
Right.
She's not into the family.
Never
She's not about love, hate.
She never
She's
cared.
About power. So you're absolutely right. It's more power than, like, oh, I'm going to get back at my husband, ex-husband. So
I have to agree, because, I mean, that was the source of their falling out from before. The fact that, she, you know, he felt like she never really loved him. She just used him. I don't think it's about any sort of you know, relationship aspect. I think it is about power. Don't forget, she is a pope. Like, each and every one of them is concerned
power
with power.
Hungry, yeah.
That's so true.
Whether, you know, Olivia wants the White House, Rowan was, you know, had the ultimate power being the head of B613 and honestly just running things in every way in D.C. one way or another. And Mama Pope was always, you know, that bee. Like, she always, you know, had the power. And you're right, this time could be no different. She wants to flex a little bit and show everybody that she can still turn D.C. on its ass and I think that's pretty badass. I mean, we gotta, you know, shout out to Shonda Rhimes for giving us the strong female characters.
True.
A lot of people in the live chat.
Something funny from the live chat. Rose O says, random thought. I think that Angela is Rowan and Sandra's secret love child.
Oh my gosh. I hope not. That would make me really sad.
That would be deep. Like, that's good. You should actually, like, tweet that to Shonda, because that's actually, like, really good. But I don't know if they're so twisted. I don't think the writers are that twisted.
Yeah.
But that would be good.
I don't think, who knows.
But that would be awesome.
I mean, aside from this obvious bombshell, right in time for Mother's Day, that Mama Pope is behind all of this.
Yes, uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
The timing. Mm-hmm. A lot of other things happened this episode. We saw a lot of relationships, you know, come full circle and things kind of... I almost feel like that 100th episode was just like a foreshadowing because in that episode, David and Abby, you know, had found love and they were together and it seems like...
Quinn preparing to get married type thing. Like, it just, it really felt like that.
Yeah.
Continue. Sorry, I cut you off. Continue.
No, you're fine. I was just talking about, you know, I wanted to talk about David and Abby because I feel like they didn't necessarily get back together this episode, but they're obviously on good speaking terms, and they kind of helped each other work through some stuff. Going into season 7, I'm curious if they'll bring that back up again since Fitz and Olivia seem to have found their chemistry again. I wonder if they're going to resuscitate all these old, you know, love stories.
I would love that because I think that Rosen and Abby were meant to be. I mean, even Rowan went off and he was with Lizzie Bear and then he was with Vice President Susan Ross and then he's with Crazy Girl in the Ponytail. Like, I can't. It made sense with him, with Abby, and even Abby off with, you know, I mean, she didn't have that many people. She just had her abuser, her ex-husband. She had Rosen and then she had Leo. So I like them together, but I find it hilarious that his entryway, like back into her bedroom, if you will, was saying that I can't leave you downstairs with that head. Like, I can't, I'm not going to leave. That's why I'm staying the night. I'm not going to leave you with that head because that head has magical powers. Right. Because that head can come alive.
It's a head.
But Two Live Crew, they always got tricks up there. We always said they are two steps ahead. What if that head was like, but anyway.
The head it's a bomb. It's going to explode.
Imagine.
Yes. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
So good. Yeah. But I love that.
People are saying, Dabby is better be season 7. Dabby. That's like the hashtag Dabby. I like that.
Dabby.
I do like Dabby. He had even the forehead kiss. The forehead kiss is just feeling in that. Mm-hmm. It means more than sometimes a kiss on the lips. That forehead kiss is so gentle. And like, you care about me. So
when Bay kisses the forehead, it's like, all is right in the world.
Yeah.
No, but I agree. I think that they're a great pairing. I think that they understand each other better than most. And it's the same way that I felt when I was totally behind Huck and Quinn being together because they're both in a similar world. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't explain that to a normal person, the type of you know, stuff you go through every day. True. And I think David and Abby have that connection where they both started out as really good people and DC changed them. And so many situations turned them into people that they didn't expect themselves to be. And I thought that that's why they had... When they had that heart-to-heart, it was so pivotal for both of their characters.
Oh, yeah.
I love that you said that because... That makes sense, like what meshes with personalities. And at first, you would think that Abby and Leo would go well together because they're both fixers in their own mind. Of course, Leo was equivalent to Carrie, but Abby trained under Carrie. So their minds work the same. But I feel like the sole difference is who's inclusive, who is included in the crazy shenanigans of the White House, OPA, and the affiliates. So Leo was on the outskirts. He didn't know about all the way back to Defiance and everything that has happened. And the same with the Huck and Quinn situation. Huck and Quinn were privy to all of it, and they experienced all of it, and they killed for it. The change happened when Charlie crossed over from being from the outside to now all of a sudden joining OPA. Like we said, this, like, why is he here? The beginning of season 6. And so that, I feel like that's true because now he's on the inside. So it makes more sense for Quinn and Charlie to be together.
We never got that answer, really. Charlie just joined.
He just, maybe he killed enough people.
It seems like he's going to be here to stay. I mean, this is Quinn's bag. I mean, that scene, like we said before, made all of us pretty emotional. And prior to that scene, I remember before when Quinn called Liv out on how she was acting. Yeah. I was like, damn, are they setting it up that Quinn's going to take it over for season 7?
Did you think that?
that question was raised in my mind. Because I felt like she was acting like what Liv should be acting like in that
moment. So did you think that Quinn was going to take it over or that Liv was going to give it to her?
No, I thought Quinn was going to take it over.
Okay, yes. Okay, yes.
I was like, I mean, when I said they, I meant like I thought the writers were just going to write that in.
Oh, okay.
In terms of her, you know, just taking over because that's what they have left. And she's been in control over the last few episodes, really just running the show. But to see, to know that Liv was testing her and gave it to her. The tears.
Like, that moment was so powerful just because I had questioned many things that Liv was saying. She was like, well, why do you feel that way? And Quinn was like, because of my gut. She's like, you can't make decisions off of your gut. I'm like, you make all decisions based off of your gut, Olivia.
Dude,
how could you say that? So I was kind of getting frustrated because I'm like, your attitude is just a bit too strong for me dealing with her because she's trying to handle this case. But now, thinking back to the episode, now being privy to what happened, it's like, oh, wow. She's like, okay, she brought them the case. If you think about it, she's like, oh, here's the petition. This is someone that I think, okay, busy, gonna leave. When she said, I was just like, wow. Like, you're really passing the baton. You're truly, like, I think Charlie made a comment earlier that was like, oh, she has traded in her white hat for the White House. And I was like, dang, Liv, are you really? But no, you will always wear the white hat, and you see the conflict in interest. We're working with the White House, so now you want to pass over your firm to someone who has worked to earn it.
I couldn't think of a better person to pass it over to. I mean, maybe had Harrison still been in the picture, maybe him.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
I think the way that Liv tested her was actually perfect because she questioned her motive. She challenged her when she said that her gut was her answer. She literally came at her on every aspect of the same way that, you know, people have come at Liv in the past of why she was so, you know, strong in her convictions of why she did things. Yeah. And I think this proved to Quinn that she needed to be just as strong and sure of herself. I mean, she took that to the Oval Office to Fitz. I mean, that's something that Liv would do.
That's big,
It was a little rocky at first for Quinn. She was trying. But no, I did like her takeover. I really liked this episode because it was kind of like the last episode with the one-on-ones with people.
Yeah.
But not so obvious. It really was a relationship episode. We got to see the relationship with Olivia and Quinn. And ultimately, it was stronger. And we see that through all of this, they are still them, which I loved. We saw the relationship with Papa Pope and Olivia.
Yeah.
Grow stronger, too, through all of this. We realized that... Because we were all so annoyed, like, really, Olivia, you're still sticking up for your dad?
But I know.
In the end, when they have that, like, goodbye dinner, you see, like, it really is a dad and a daughter. And so I really like that dynamic because for the first time, I'm like, this is why Olivia sticks up for her dad because he is a dad.
He's the only family she got.
Yeah.
Right.
He's not a father, but he is a... Or he's a father, but he's not a dad. I'll say that.
Okay. He does look out for her.
He's there, and they make you feel better. He never shows emotion, and he completely challenges her. Every time she gets weak, he pushes her. He makes her feel better by giving her the strength to get through the next situation. Like, I've never been like... Rowan's a dad. He's just so soft and cuddly. Only because of that reason.
But all dads don't have to be soft and cuddly.
But I agree with you. That's true.
I feel like he pushes her and he lets her know, like, I'm being hard on you because you are better than this. That's the only reason I'm being hard on you. And it's always true. He always actually does need to push her to really let her realize, okay, this is what I have to do. I wasn't doing the right
thing.
It's
a cold world out there when you're pushed. And I think that that's why she's so emotionally challenged. But I like what you said in reference to the fact that their relationship has changed. Because I agree. I feel that their relationship has evolved. I just thinking back to when there's been hate. There's been assassination attempts, if you will. There's been throwing under the bus. There's been so many things that have fractured their relationship. But to get it to the point to where this is the first... Can we just acknowledge that this is the first time out of six seasons that they have had the meetings of the mind? And they say, you know what? Wow. Like, she's like, I want you to stay around. He's like, no, I want to go to protect you.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I want you to stay. Like, what is this love fest?
I know.
I loved it, but what is this love fest?
I was thinking that, too.
Incredible. I guess, you know, taking down evil people just brings people together.
I guess.
Who knows?
Never been there. So
it's funny, the live chat kind of coined this QPA thing for Quinn. Well, that would make her Quinn Pope, actually.
Yeah.
What was the PB? Oh, Quinn Perkins. Quinn Perkins.
Yes.
There you go, QPA.
There it is.
Someone also threw around the theory that I actually see two things, that either Abby should go to QPA or that Abby should work with Jake. Not sure why Blue Jay PDX. Let me know why Abby should work with Jake.
And what is Jake doing?
Yeah.
He's like that's a question that I have going into season 7. Where does that leave Jake?
You know what? They didn't touch too much on Jake. I mean, yes, he was the solver of the head and the DNA, but like we got so many answers. What we know where Marcus is going, we know what Melly's doing, we know what everyone's doing. Except Jake.
That's true, because now this is going to be a new administration. Right. Is Jake going to continue as head of the NSA under Melly Grant's administration? Yeah. Will he move on? I mean, you know, it's kind of done for him and Liv. Yeah. So
definitely
what does he
done.
Do? He can't go back to B613. He's not going to be a contract killer. I mean, his wife's gone. Am I right on that?
Good, thank God.
Shade.
They never had a full goodbye, though, to his wife.
No, she's
they're like,
a hot
you know
mess.
What? People don't like her character. Just get
hot
her out.
Mess
get her out of here.
So my question is, are you guys here for this QPA thing? Do you think it'll be back to a case-by-case basis? Will it be QPA versus the White House? Was that some foreshadowing that Liv gave us in terms of, like, you know, at times you're going to have to go up against me. Will that actually happen a lot sooner than we think?
These are prediction questions.
Yes. I know, they
is
are.
It time?
It's time.
We're getting around
almost
that
there,
time.
Yeah,
yeah, let's do it.
Prediction. And now, you're after Buzz TV.
I know we just cued the lights, but did I miss anything with this episode? We're going to that?
I know.
Melly and Marcus, Fist and Liv, Rowan, OPA. I think we got to kind of
we
everything.
We did, but last week...
We didn't talk about the case with Sean Campbell, unfortunately.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
I mean...
It speaks for itself. I can't take all the racist
hopefully
shade.
Hopefully, guys, you don't kill us for that.
No, that was like... That was intoxicating. It was frustrating. Just the word choice alone,
yes,
it drives hard for the case and it makes sense, but it hits you in a way, and especially if you compare it to the current climate of this election, of the current administration, and the people who have kind of come out, the alt-right, for example, in support of our current president. It was like, dang, it hits home so close.
I don't know if Shonda Rhimes was purposely doing it. I'm thinking she did. But I don't know if you guys know, with Obama's last week, he also did this extreme pardons. He pardoned like over 100 people.
Yeah,
in a very controversial
and it was very controversial.
Yes. The Chelsea lady,
exactly.
Yeah, the one
so
who
I thought
was the spy who gave information, or she wasn't a spy, but she was part of the intel and she leaked information.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And people also were feeling that this was the wrong decision for Obama to make, to leave, because he's leaving his legacy, letting go people that the people of America still thought were guilty. So
yeah.
I felt like, oh my gosh, she's bringing this back too. I love that.
I actually really like that, because I know in the beginning of this season, with the parallels that people were drawing between Hollis Doyle and President Trump.
Yes.
Mr. Trump, sorry, I don't want to acknowledge him.
she acknowledges to a respectful name.
Mr. Trump.
Still respectful.
Anyway, no, and you know, she did comment in a lot of interviews and in the ABC upfronts that, like, you know, that wasn't planned. But I do think, to your point, that this was actually planned. I think that when Scandal does play on real world events, they do time it and they do it right. And I think that they got it right with this episode, giving us those tidbits to make it feel, you know, believable and realistic in a world that's so unrealistic within Scandal. So I did like that.
Please. I also just like that Fitz is going out doing the things that Fitz wants to do. He's finally in control. He's finally also wearing the white hat as he leaves the White House. So I'm like, Fitz found himself after 8 years, but he really found himself, so I appreciate that.
I agree with that, because I was like, okay, Fitz with the plan. Like, and that's why I feel like Marcus felt so strongly about denying Melly the position as the communications director, because he's like, no, I'm going to go lead this foundation. Which, by the way, as we saw, Abby was supposed to lead the foundation and she turned
that
it down because she didn't want to go to Vermont. So now that Marcus is running it, I think that he feels that Fitz hears him. And anytime that you have a president or anyone and you speak truth and word into their life and then they reiterate it through interviews and through their current stance, he's like, I have a voice here. That's what he wanted, a voice.
I think that's so, true. Too. Mm-hmm. I think that he'll be better served working for Fitz's administration, you know, past his presidency. And I think that he's honestly stepping into a role that Olivia once had in the terms of, like, you know, feeding him things to say and things to do. I mean, I agree that he did step up, but he also still had, I mean, he quoted, you know, him word for word, citing the D and all that.
Right.
But,
that was funny.
That was really fun.
Can't knock him too
it
much.
It was awkward coming from him, but I was like, ugh.
It was. I mean.
And I know about the D. It sounded like a different D.
That different D.
I was like, does he know Liv that knows saying the D is not appropriate?
Yeah, so...
So last week, we got a little shade in our comments, I think, because we missed the Shady Boots.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, shade
oh, yes.
for missing the Shady Boots, child. So yes. let us just say, and right now, Shady Boots are made for walking. Okay. Hey,
that's
hey,
that's what
one of these days, they
boots are going to walk all over you.
Give it to okay. us.
Yes.
So I would say that the Shady Boots moment of the night would have to be when Quinn was working out of Olivia's office, and Olivia walked in, and she was like, what are you doing in my office? And Quinn's like, well, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. You're not here. She's like, your office is down the hall.
Bye,
like,
girl.
Dang. This is before we knew that it was all a test, but I was like,
yeah.
God, how embarrassing. Or, I'm sorry, second Shady Boots, I just thought of it, was when Fitz, when Quinn again, when she was in Fitz's office, and he's like, you know, you have to leave. And she's like, no. He's like, there are people in the hallway that will shoot you. Dude, like, we were like, he is so extra right now.
Speaking of that, anyone notice how much he's been flexing his power
yes.
his last 9 days?
His last 9 days.
I'm the president. Do you know people would shoot for me? Do you know who you're talking to when he checked Marcus? That was another Shady flexing Boots moment. Mm-hmm. Just to go around moment. And then say exactly what Marcus said to him.
Right.
But yeah, Shady Boots to both of you. Yeah.
Jake had a shady moment. I can't even remember exactly what he said, but it was
when he called Abby.
Yeah.
I thought that was warranted.
What did he yeah, she he was did. Freaking out about the head, but I forgot what he said.
They were talking about loyalty, and he was like,
oh,
and
she was you, like, you'll oh, never how are you position. Gonna
do? Yeah, he was like, she was upset about Samantha, whatever, head in her freezer. He's like, you're the last person that we will ever, you know, result to for loyalty or
ever
what's right.
Again. Yeah. That
because
was shady.
She's like, oh, do you know that I am the chief of staff? He's like, yes, and I'm the director of the NSA, and he is the AG, so now what?
That, he gets the Shady Boots
moment.
I'm
like, yes, Jake, now what?
Larry Brown Jr. in our live chat says, Shady Boots moment goes to Marcus for telling Melly, I'm not Olivia Pope.
Oh, yeah, that too.
It's true. I mean, he's not like her in the sense that he's thirsty for power. He actually wants to do some good, so... Shout out to you for that Shady Boots
that
moment.
Was, no, yeah. That's actually really good because I forgot about that. I was like, what's wrong with being Olivia Pope? How are you going to shade Olivia Pope? I mean,
really quick before we do wrap the episode, I did want to, someone mentioned earlier in the live chat, I wanted to bring it up too. Do you guys find it weird that Fitz is still icing out Abby and why he's still icing her out? Because don't forget, he is the one who told Liv to forgive her, but he won't. Why?
I don't think that it's weird. Honestly, I feel that everyone from OPA should still ice her out in a way because at the end of the day, she contributed to the Two Life Crews plan. Granted, she was threatened. She was going to give money. Whatever it was, she should have went to them. And she had ample opportunity when Olivia walked in her office and said, these are the people I'm coming to you to share information and intel that we have. These are the people that are attacking us. And she goes, I don't know them. Mm-mm. Like, that was your chance, regardless of the wires that could have been in the office. You could have took her to the bathroom. There are so many ways she could have got out of, and she chose not to. And that's why she deserved the all the three slaps that Olivia gave to her.
Wow.
I think I agree. I think he only told Olivia to forgive Abby to keep Olivia going.
Yeah.
And I think he just wanted to keep it flowing and do the right thing, but he's like, I'm not going to really forgive her. And I agree with you on that point. I mean, Abby had so many chances, and it disappointed me when Olivia came and she still didn't say anything. I was like, she's done. X or out. So
don't forget, you know, Abby and Fitz also, it took a while for them to really gel. He didn't trust her very much at first. You know, she really had to fight to prove that she was worthy of that position and to be someone that he could really trust. And then, you know, playing devil's advocate, she did ask him to just be her friend in that moment and vent to him, but that was too big of something to drop and not expect any sort of repercussions for it. So,
absolutely.
Curious Side to see note, where she falls.
Where is Cyrus? Like, what's going to happen?
Was it? Yeah.
Not even a second
You're
of Cyrus.
So right.
Not a mention.
I honestly...
That's a good point.
That's a good point.
But before we let all that get away from us, it is 11.
Yes.
Any quick predictions for the finale? What do you guys think?
I got nothing.
Nada?
Nothing.
She's like, not it.
So I have something, but it was totally like bouncing off of your question earlier before we went to predictions. You had asked a very important question. Do you remember what it was by chance?
I had a
response to your question. I don't remember. You asked a question that had to go into next week. Okay, so I think it had to do with where Jake lied in the new administration.
Yes.
And what are people's like positions going into almost season seven in a way. We have to acknowledge, somebody said at the beginning of the chat, and we didn't talk about it at the beginning of the show, although we are fully aware, and we're tweeting about it this week if you follow us, but yes, it is announced and reported on that Scandal's final season will be next season, which is season seven.
Yes.
So that's like really sad news. Like I tweeted the girls like, oh my God, do you know that Scandal is about to end on season seven? That's really sad. Someone mentioned it. They're like, are y'all not going to talk about this? We are going to talk about it because...
Let's wait to the finale. We will
harp on that later.
Definitely next week will be good to talk about. But just to acknowledge the fact that, yes, we do know. Yeah. And we are concerned and sad about it. But anyway, predictions.
Yeah.
I feel that it would behoove the new administration to keep Jake on in some high-level capacity, whether it be the director of the NSA, whether it be to roll him over to the director of the FBI. He needs to be in a position in case stuff goes down. Mm-hmm. You know, we need the original crew always in lock and intact.
I like that.
Where Cyrus will fall in this new administration, I don't know. And maybe that's why he was absent, because he's going to come back with a bang next week. Right. That could be why. You know, we don't know where he falls. I love the fact that they do acknowledge that people can transfer, which is why Marcus was like, oh, I'm press secretary, but I can transfer to communications director. For the final episode, I think that they're going to set us up, but they're going to give us information. So talking about Mama Pope in particular, I feel like they're going to reveal to us why it may have been important for Mama Pope to be involved next week, because it's not like they're figuring out how to get to her, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're in full communication with her. They are saying that she is trying to assassin Melly. So they're going to be fighting her. It's kind of like how we felt that the Payas and the Two Live Crew situation was going to extend. And we're like, they won't know about it. We won't know about it. I feel like they're going to confront it head on next week.
Interesting. Paris. A lot of people in the live chat, to your point, though, are saying that Cyrus may be done with Washington. Someone said he's unemployed. He's busy playing with dolls with his daughter. Probably. Ella needs some love.
If he got his daughter back, I think that
that's true. Mike, what was his name? Sorry, guys.
It slips my mind.
I can't remember now.
Yeah.
Too much wine.
Yeah.
Too much wine. I think I'm going to counter your prediction. Okay. I don't think Melly's making it out of season six.
Yeah,
I think she's going to die. I think that's going to be like a huge shocker. I think we need something. Because at this point, yes, we do know that Mama Pope is behind it all. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, like you said, maybe next week we'll find out why. Mm-hmm. But unless she has some greater plan, like, I don't know. I just don't. I think someone has to die. I'll just say that.
I think someone has to die.
I think someone has to die.
So you don't think she's going to make it out of season six? So you don't think she'll be in season seven?
I think she'll die next week.
Oh.
Because it's always been about getting Melly somewhere, or people wanting her some way. I think, honestly, like, she's not with Fitz anymore. I mean, I don't know. Like, yes, she is setting up to be our first in this world, our first female president and whatnot, but...
That's what makes me sad, and what you said, because I feel like they've given us Melly and then they've taken us away.
Yeah.
She can be the first female president. We're like, yeah. And then, like, call us. And all these other people come. It's like, no, she can't. And then we're going to rig the election to make her win. Okay, wait. No, that didn't work. Frankie won. Okay, we're going to kill her. Okay, but then, you know, so I feel like that it's been like a give and take. Mm-hmm. However, gosh. Can I counter my prediction? Okay, so I'm going to counter it, and I'm going to reference someone in the live chat, Megan Grimm, who said Cyrus could be the VP. So this is what I'm going to say to that. What if Mama Pope is trying to assassinate Melly, but she accidentally assassinates Vargas's wife, and then who's going to be VP? Cyrus.
Oh, Cyrus.
They bring Cyrus in.
Why?
Wouldn't that be crazy?
That would have been what could have happened just now. Yeah. He said no to being VP.
Right. He said no at the time because he thought that he could possibly still be the president. He was like, no, no. He was saying no, just like Melly said no to him about being his VP. And now she ended up being the president. How crazy would that be if this is predictions. I'm going to say that Mama Pope accidentally assassinates Vargas's wife and Cyrus becomes the VP.
Interesting. 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 Yeah. Yes. Damn, that'll be Melly, Cyrus, and Liv all under the same administration.
Ooh, yes.
That'll make for good TV.
For our final season.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it's been real, guys.
Yes.
Thanks for staying up wherever you are, recapping Scandal with us. It's been a blast.
So
we're super stoked for next week, so we hope that you guys do join us. Yes. It will be a slightly extended episode. We'll be live tweeting all week, talking about our predictions going into it. Tweet us, let us know what you guys think. Any news in the, you know, I know a lot of people are referencing Bellamy Young being on certain shows, promoting things. So let us know when you guys see things or different interviews, people dropping tidbits. We all are curious to see how it all ends. So share with us on social media and continue the conversation all week long. You guys can find me all over social media at Christine Bean. Where can they find you, Paris?
You guys can find me on the gram and Snapchat at Paris Rose with two R's.
Two R's. And you can find me on Twitter at Miss Jessica Williams. That's M-I-S-S. Jessica Williams, and then on Instagram, the same. So we can do that thing.
Mm-hmm. Dope, yeah. Dope. Well, thanks guys so much, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.